words and situations, and that's why you had to put that stuff up.
And when I'm talking with one of the dearest friends I ever had today, and he just brought it up out of the blue, and I said, I am lonely, but I'm not that lonely. I said I would love for someone to hold me, but love, man. And then I told the guy, I call you for love. You know, I think it's a shame, Mark, that when you call up a Christian,
yeah,
and they don't even know how to give you what you need, it shows again the bankruptcy of the church.
Yes.
Because of what the media has done to them. You know, but, you know, what can I say? Well, let's continue to look at our outline here. We must ask something. Where does this loneliness in man start? And is there anything that we can do about it? Are we just a cursed race of people? Are we a bunch of cursed Americans that are doomed for eternal damnation? Are we serious enough to take a course of action to become concerned enough to warn others? I like the way Jesus put it in Matthew 15:19-20. He says, for out of the heart comes evil intentions. See, when you look at that picture on my website of your president, you shouldn't talk about it. I should. Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil intentions. Do you think that woman wanted him to look at her buttocks in that way?
And why can't you give a living example, a current day example of what you don't want the Christian to be like? Because we don't know what the president is. He may talk at one game, but he may be doing something else. And with a look like that, that's been all over the internet, you don't want a believer to have that sort of mentality.
What it is is that the world put it all over the internet simply because this is what this man bespeaks of. It's giving the okay to immorality to the youngsters, to the future generations. Remember, Obama doesn't do anything without thinking positively about it. This is what he wants to say. Man, we're in a new world order. And in this world order, the old moral codes, the old restrictions, the old concerns of the old iron horse Christians is done away with. Nobody tells us how to live now. We can do anything we want. No one's going to criticize us. The people that put it up are not criticizing him for the look. They put it up because they thought it was relatively, hey, look at this, man. Man, he's just like me. Man, what a cool guy he is. Now, all the years that he went to that guy's church shows you what Jeremiah's church was. It was nothing but a hellhole place for people like that. That's why Jeremiah ended up the way he ended up, and that's why Obama's a Muslim. And we know the way the Muslim men feel about women. And with that look right there, the man has no respect for his wife and absolutely none for his children, because he would okay the guys looking at his children's little buttocks just like that. Like, father, like I would want my son-in-law to be. See, this is what he's teaching, Mark. You teach by your life. Now, just like Dobermeier said, you may say, yeah, well, you do the same thing. No, I wouldn't. If I were in that position, I would know the cameras are constantly on me. I would not do that ever publicly, and I would tell my staff not to ever misrepresent me by that. And remember now, I used to have a staff, and I no longer have a big staff because they try to push me into stuff like that. One man asked me, why don't you do something to show people that you human like them? I just looked at the cat. What? Why don't you do something, Pastor John, to show the people that you on a level what they are? Then they'd follow you better.
So that person can feel good in whatever they're doing.
Absolutely. I just looked at him like he was out of his mind. But there's your president right there taking a peep. Out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. That's Matthew 15:19. Verse 20 says, these are what defile a person. This is what defiles them. What? Your evil intentions? Murder, adultery, fornication. That look is saying to that woman, I sure would like to hit that. Now, if anybody gets any other connotation out of that picture, you playing a game with yourself.
And please don't play like you've never heard that. Oh, I would like to hit that.
Oh, they know what
that's
I'm talking
about.
That's
on all the TV shows. Yeah. That's in all the records.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the records from a certain kind of a beat.
Yes.
They have that mentality. Ooh, yes. Look at that. I yes. want that. When can I get you later? Slip me your number so I can call you when my wife goes to bed.
I don't know how old that woman is because her face is turned back to us, but if you remember Steve McNair with his 20-year-old whore, where they both are right now, let me talk about that a little bit. Think about it. You sat in the chair. You just told Miss Hussey you ain't going to leave your wife and all that. I done gave you a Cadillac girl. And you give me what I want, when I want it, how I want it, where I want it. You just my plaything. Now I'm going to take a nap and go to sleep. He's sleeping on the chair and all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, work through the scenario with me. You feel a hot thing coming to your head, to one side of your head. You immediately wake up for a half a second, but you go into shock because you realize that she got a gun because your skull is kind of thick. See? Bullet didn't quite go in to take out your nervous system, but she goes to the front of you and lays two more in your chest. Boom, yeah, boom, boom. Yeah, see, in the head and in the chest. And then after the two hit the chest, she gives another one on the other side of the head. She wanted to, my goodness, that was an execution for what he did. Now, for those of you that are playing this game, having sex with somebody out there, and you ain't making a commitment to them, that's why PJ ain't doing that with nobody like that. And look, I want to make this perfectly clear to all the ladies out there to be liking me. You better get the Hades up out my face. I ain't thinking about you. Don't want you. Don't want to have nothing to do with you. And if you're older than 26 years old and haven't had a man, think about why you lost him and couldn't keep him and go back and do your first work over. But please leave me alone. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Let me keep moving. I just thought I'd say that. Just put that in there like that. The four stages of man's tragic devolution is intelligence and then ignorance. Ignorance. All right? Because in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, it says, knowing God, man refused to honor him. That's ignorant. People are ignorant these days. You know who God is, and you refuse to honor him. You're going to honor Michael. What? You're going to look at L. Sharpton. What? What? Jesse Jackson. My goodness. To know God, coming from the Greek word gnosko, to know by personal experience, didn't know God. I want to read the Acts 17:27 verse. Oh, let me go there. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. I'm very conscious of the time, but I'm going to have to look beyond the time because I want to spend some time talking with you people. Okay, here it is. Acts 17, 27 says, when the jailer awoke and... Yes, 17:27. No, that's 16:27. I'm sorry. 17:27. Here we go. Let me turn on the bright light in the studio. It says that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You see, if you want to know God, you have to grope for him. You know, you have to be serious about your want to come in contact with God because of what Satan has done to us. That's why Coach goes off and I go off. We're older American men. Older American men knows how life is supposed to work. You young cats, you just discovering what's out there. And you may be saying, well, why is Pastor John like this? And I want to talk with some of you men that may be trying to make me a coach or hero. You better leave that mess alone. Because I can, you know, a flea can bite me and I can go mad tonight. And you won't know what I'm talking about next week. So don't make me your hero. Christ is your hero. Get into the Word of God and learn how to live this life on your own. See? Indulgence. the mistake that, man, look at verses 24 through 27. See, indulgence is another way that we fall. The mistake that we humans make is that we play into the hands of a mortal enemy. Satan knows what he's doing when he puts this mess in front of us. Satan loves the fact that we have lost the moral conscience as we waver, as we steer off the course. And we seem to like it. Look at your president steering. I wonder what Michelle said when she came in to, she said, honey, they got you all over the internet looking at this bootay.
Can you imagine the question? What's this?
I would love to know what his daughter said. Daddy,
what's that?
What, daddy, what? Daddy, what's that? Go to your room. Go play with the furry dog.
And the mother-in-law's on that trip, too. So she's at the table going,
man, they're taking her everywhere. They're taking her everywhere.
They don't want to get a babysitter. They bring her along. Please. She lives in the White House, too.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, she got a room. I can imagine how that looks. They got a picture of Martin Luther King and everybody in there. Uh-huh. Let me leave that alone. Impenitence. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Okay, verse 28. And I'm going to go there because I want to read that to you. And I want you to know what impenitence looks like, because that's how we've fallen. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. I don't have to acknowledge him. This old crazy stuff John is talking, don't nobody want to live that. Talking about live holy. Ain't nobody holy. All of us should go out and blah, 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 blah. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, I look in the Old Testament scriptures, I see these guys have more than one wife. I said, maybe that would solve the problem in America. But another person told me yesterday, it would, man, they'd be killing each other because the women couldn't handle that and the man couldn't handle it either. That was back in the day when a rich man could afford a lot of wives and he was taking care of a lot of people. Now, God didn't condemn it back there, but when you read the Bible, you will see that he did, because he told David not to go out and get many wives for himself. I think I gave a Bible study about that. So God commanded him. I know a lot of us would like to have a lot of wives. I want to talk with some of you young men. You better handle the woman you got. That should be enough for impenitence, which means a mind that cannot form the right judgment. That's what's happened to America.
Wow, okay.
We cannot form the right kind of judgment because we're impenitent towards God. Verse 28 says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, what? God gave them over to a depraved mind. God says, oh, you're not going to acknowledge me? Well, I'm going to give you what you want.
He won't even let you form the right thoughts.
You're going to make Michael your man. Wow. And you know he's a pedophile homosexual. I'm going to give you over to it.
And you buy your kids the white glove and the red jacket.
Because you want to keep them happy and you want them to be just like that. So God gave them over. Why? This is now, they have abandoned themselves into sin. And sometimes I feel like I want to do some grave sin. Sometimes I can look at something in the Bible and it says, God, that's the way I am. That's the way I feel. That's the way I'm motivated. But before I do it, I know that it would be impenitence against God. That frightens the heaven out of me. You notice I didn't say hell, because it ain't no hell in me, brother. I'm not going. And when I do practice impenitence, it's when I do sin before God. And you better mark this preacher's word. I get that mess taken care of before I go to bed at night. Now, if you want to play the how many time games, I've sinned enough time to latch up about four eternities in a burning hell. Now, how many times have you sinned? Or are you going to deny God and say that you haven't? You lying bullfrog. You know what impenitence is? We see the tragic result in the lives of dead heroes who shall spend an eternity in a burning hell, and you there crying because they're in a gold coffin. Football players, your heroes. Out there, man, I seen them all in line crying about this football player that was shot in the head. What you crying for? You need to be crying for his sons. What did daddy do? Who gonna tell the children how their daddy died? Papa was a rolling stone.
You know, this day and age, Pastor John, when they go back to school, their friends are gonna show them what their dad was doing playing that DUI tape when they got the young lady out of the car for her DUI drinking test.
Was that your daddy?
Was that the car he bought for her?
Oh, he bought her Escalade. He bought her Escalade. Can you imagine? And I remember when black people hardly had nothing. I remember when they wouldn't even let us throw a football on a major football team. Now we got quarterback positions and everything. And if we're not doing that, we're doing what Kobe did. Man, my goodness, we've lost our minds. I know y'all don't want to hear this. You know, there's a catalog of vices here. Because in those verses, Paul writes and he says, they were filled with unrighteousness. And then he says they were wicked, greedy, full of malice, envy, murder, strife and debate, deceit, gossip, backbiters, slanders, haters of God. That's what we become in this country. Despiteful, are insolent, arrogant and proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, 2 Timothy 3:2, without understanding, without natural affection. Man, we've lost our minds. We have lost untrustworthy. You can't trust anybody these days. There's so much mess going on out there. Unloving, unmerciful, and they think well of evil. I don't know whether you ever read verse 32 of Romans chapter 1. It says, and although they know the ordinance of God, in other words, they know what PJ is saying is the truth. My dog is crazy. That those who practice such things are worthy of death. In other words, he's saying that they even know that the people that participate in this stuff should be annihilated by God. But guess what they do? They give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's why when I was telling this man that goes to Robert Shuler's hellhole church that his daughter's going to be the pastor, and the man was trying to tell me, well, you've got to understand what they're trying to do. See? And I just said, man, shut up. Yes. I said, shut up, man. I've got to understand what they're trying to do, that they've lost membership. I know because I've gone there for over 20 years, and the membership is going down, so they're just trying another means to get people to come. I told him I did a webcast on your – I said, I did a webcast on your church, man. And, you know, you keep forgetting you talking with me, but no, wait a minute.
Your game's not going to work. Everybody's broke.
That's even what Orange I was telling County you.
People are broke.
Ain't nobody got no money to be given to no Disneyland church.
All the ones that are down there, their businesses have closed down. They've had to fire people because there's no money.
Yes, yes.
And that's why that place is going down. There's no money.
There's no money. And people are trying to survive, and they're not going to be, you know, this is the day that the Lord. Wait a minute. You know that the Shulers own an island in the Pacific. They own an island. A number of years ago, it came out. They bought an island in the Pacific.
I didn't know that.
Yes. It was all on the internet. That's how much money that dude has raked in from these drive-in idiots that have put God on that level and got people in a room with donkeys crapping on the floor, the story of Easter and the story of Christmas. These people are nuts. Then, this guy even told me that Ken Omer is preaching in the church, in Shuler's church, more often than not.
Really?
He says, Kenneth Omer has been there 3 times. I said, well,
They've gone to the next set of wallets in Orange County.
There it is.
They were going one set of wallets. Now they're going for another wallet. Yep.
Now they're going for the other. Well, maybe we can bring them in here and get money that way. See, man, they're desperate. That's not God.
That's how desperate they are. They're business. Trying to get a whole new crop of people down
oh,
there.
Oh, my God.
That they wouldn't invite before, most likely.
As me and Mark end up this, because I know some of you saying, are you just two black men that's mad at the world and y'all need to get a life? Let me give an answer to you. It is so easy for you to fall into these areas of contempt against God and then to attack me. You go right ahead and attack me. And I don't care. Because I was asking God this afternoon, seriously, and I'm going to tell you people, I asked the Lord to kill me tonight in my sleep. And I just started crying. I told him I was sorry, but I said, I'm sick of this life here. I cannot stand this. I said to God, why are you leaving me here to watch people become this. This is horrible. See, because my being a Christian does not exempt me from falling hard and feeling great shame about what God is feeling about not only the church, but about most people that heard about God. And now they would believe that somebody like the clown Fred Price is an apostle and his wife is a great doctor of writing a book. Wait a minute, you ought to listen to the webcast. This woman wrote a book to warn bishops and their wives and the bishop's girlfriends about playing on each other. Why don't she write a book to warn people to flee from her lying, pimping husband? Well, we have to come to agree that God is in question if we continue to practice things that bring shame to him. Now, what is a remedy of this as we come to the conclusion? The remedy is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Some of you know this scripture. It's very well known. I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to give you a definition of it for those of you that don't understand biblical exegesis. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you. Paul is saying, well, why is he urgent? Because he know y'all in bad shape. Those of you that are not believers or think you believers or have been playing, you need to listen to this. And this is going to really make you hate God and close the book and cuss me out. But, you know, there again. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Those words get me. That tells me that I can't go out and look at women's buttocks the way my president does. And then it says, acceptable to God. Here's the question. Do you think that God is accepting that glance by your president and the French president? Then he says, which is your spiritual service of worship. The King James, it says your reasonable service. Now, verse 2 is the one that really got you. But let me get to verse 1. You have to acknowledge that you love God and are ready to present yourself as his living slave. That is what makes you holy and acceptable to him. Now, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be shaped into the world's pattern or mold. We have been called out of the world. And then he says, but, in other words, as opposed to being conformed to the world, to be transformed. Now, we aren't talking about the Transformers movie. And I hear that they had children in the theater watching that movie, and the Transformers was using bad language. So a lot of you parents is letting your children go see that because you think it's an animated cartoon. Those are grown men that are talking filthy on a big screen, poisoning your children's minds. But that's how you get the next generation into total debauchery. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, your mind has been polluted by this world so that you may prove what the will of God is. Most of you guys that call yourself Christians can't prove anything. And then he says, that which, this is what the word of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what holds me straight. You say, can't nobody be perfect? Well, I'm striving. I'm striving. Now, make up your mind that from this day on, that you will be that person that God can depend upon to carry out biblical precepts starting right now, day one, right now. Make up your mind. You're going to live like this, do this. Because if your mind is not made up and you die like Michael Jackson did, oh, if he could go back to the Wednesday before he had the doctor shoot him up, and if he knew he was going to be dead, talking about he wanted to be knocked out. Oh, let me end up with this. I know, oh my, 11 minutes over the hour. Let me end up with this and share something with you. Do you people know why he wanted to be knocked out? Because when you live a life of debauchery and sin and guilt, and every human being has a conscience mark.
Yes.
They have a conscience for what they've done. And when you try to make up for your conscience by giving little boy's parents money, millions of dollars, to cover it up because of what you've done. That's debauchery. God hates it. You know God hates it. You know what you are. And so what you do is you want to, you know, Elvis Presley gave away Cadillacs.
Yes.
Elvis Presley did a lot of stuff like that, trying to get the guilt off him. He ended up taking a bunch of dope, too, because the sin was so heavy in his life that you can take all the dope you want to. Most of those singers do stuff like that. Jimi Hendrix did it. Mama Cass did it. All of them take dope, pills, all of that. Man, I'm thinking about that one black singer just a filthy singing man. And I forget his name now. It's not even important. But, you know, he died in a dope stupor. Michael needed somebody to give him a pill, not so that he could sleep or give him some drugs, not so he can sleep, but then so that he could be knocked out. Those are the terms that he used to some of the people. I want to be knocked out. He was trying to stop his conscience. And the worst thing for a sinner is to be conscious of anything, because especially when you're ill like that and you're dying, you know that's when the demons come. Mm-hmm. Knock me out so the demons won't come. God will give you over to a depraved mind that you think that you are getting peace, and that mess will take you right in to hell. Now you know why a lot of people hate the Bible and hate Christianity, because that is the word of the Lord. Well, with that, I'm going to stop, and I want you to think about it. Think about your lives. I got to think about mine. Mark Ramsey got to think about his.
Got to
think about mine. Jesus, and if I die tonight, Mark, and y'all come here and get this webcast, I'll put it up before I go to sleep, Lord willing. But let them know, John said he wanted to die. God took him. There it is. Now, you got to figure out where my spirit and my soul is based upon who I am at this moment and at that moment when I die. And ask yourself, where was Michael? With that, Mark, we're going to ask him to do one thing, to stay into the word. God bless you. Good night.